to invite you to turn to the book of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 28, and also 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Lord has led me to just spend the next couple of Sunday mornings just reaffirming our yearly theme, the need to reproduce ourselves and to be involved in that process. And this morning I'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, verse number 19 and 20, and then we'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, our Lord Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we are loved of Thee. We are loved of God. And Lord God, I pray if there are some here this morning that have yet to know in a very personal way the love of God, I pray this might be the day of their salvation. And Lord God, for those of us that are a part of Your family, we pray, please fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Please guide us, teach us, challenge us, equip us to teach others also. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When you read the Great Commission, as it's been termed, and that term is familiar to many of us here this morning, that mandate given by Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Himself, to His 11 disciples, He said, I give you power, authority to go out and to teach all nations. The word teach there is the same word translated disciple, to make disciples. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you're not to stop there, you are to teach them all things that I have commanded you, everything that I've taught you, you are to pass on to them. So we are to make disciples, we are to teach all nations the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, the resurrection of Christ. God's remedy for sin today is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I give you authority to proclaim that message. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible teaches us. So we as Bible-believing Christians have a mandate from Almighty God to proclaim that message, to teach all nations, to make disciples. And we're not to leave them to their own devices. We are to try to encourage them to take that first step of obedience in believer's baptism. And then, it doesn't stop there. We are to then take part in indoctrinating them with the Word of God. The word indoctrinate is not an ugly word. We tend to use it negatively, but think about it for a moment. Indoctrinate. It is not an ugly word. We are to indoctrinate disciples with the words of Jesus Christ. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them the Word of God. Now, when our Lord Jesus gave that mandate to the 11 men, I would like to think that we understand that He meant for those disciples to take that which they have been taught and that which they have been charged and to teach others also. So in other words, when we think of the Great Commission, it's so critically important that you and I think beyond one generation. That we understand that our Lord Jesus had the principle of multiplication in mind as He trained His men. He trained them to duplicate them. He trained them to duplicate His life in others and to perpetuate the Word of God and the Christ work throughout the world. So in other words, each disciple equaled a multitude of other disciples. And as the Lord Jesus invested in these men, He wasn't just investing in these men to just be an end of themselves in all that Christ had taught them, but He so heavily invested in these men so that they in turn will teach others also. Commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My friend, this is the full, F-U-L-L, fulfillment of the Great Commission. It's where we pass on to others that which we know, so that they are equipped to pass on to the next generation. We live in a day in which people are moving further and further and further away from the things of God. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to have more of an urgency in this area of making sure that we are passing on to others our faith. And may I say, beyond just passing on our faith to that next generation, but so passing on our faith to that next generation, that that next generation will pass on the faith to the next generation. That's multiplication. That's duplication. And that's what we as the people of God are called to do in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It is a multiplication commission that we are to pass on to others so that they will pass on to others. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the Lord Jesus poured 3 years into these men. He didn't pour 3 years into these men fit to just stop with them. He poured 3 years into these men, teaching them everything He wanted them to know so that they in turn will teach others also. And I'd like to encourage you this morning concerning this mandate from Almighty God that the fulfillment of a Great Commission means that I'm making disciples that multiply. I'm making disciples that duplicate themselves. That is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And I'd like to challenge you this morning, that needs to begin within our homes. That needs to begin within our very homes, with our very loved ones, parents with our children. We need to instill into our children biblical values, the Christ life, so that they will one day make it their own, and then as they have children, they will do likewise. This great commission needs to begin within the home. And parents, may I warn you this morning that the average Christian home will raise children within a so-called Christian home only to have those children so-called raised in a Christian home that have no time for the things of God at their earliest convenience. And I believe the detriment of that is overwhelming to the well-being of the name of Jesus Christ. And we as parents need to understand, hey, we are called upon to make disciples, and that begins with our own children, our own loved ones. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, they just need to make up their own mind. Well, that's true to a sense, but you and I need to do everything we can to instill the Christ life within them and teach us this is the way to live. This is the abundance of life. And to encourage them that, hey, you need to take this faith, make it your own, and teach others also. So I'd like to challenge you this morning concerning the need to make disciples, to begin within our own homes. The world is falling apart. The world is falling apart. You know that. You watch the news. You listen to the news. The only hope is Jesus Christ. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to value our own and at least take our own and invest in our own and build disciples that will multiply from our own. We need to take that charge personally. Beyond the home, it needs to be a way of life for you and I as a Bible-believing Christian through the ministry of the New Testament church. Making disciples, investing in others that multiply, duplicate. Commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now what are some foundational principles in making disciples that duplicate? Parents, if you're serious about making disciples that duplicate from your own backyard, from within your own home, what are some key ingredients that we need to bear in mind? And beyond the home, within the ministry of the local church, within your ministry as a child of God, reproducing yourself, what are some key elements that are absolutely critical in making disciples that duplicate? Because this is the Great Commission. The outflow, the fleshing out of Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20 is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Does that make sense? When the Lord Jesus gave Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20, this is what he meant. Didn't expect the faith to end with the 11. He wanted to go beyond the 11. Oh, if we would just grasp that. It was to be a perpetuating faith. To move on to the next generation. Then that next generation passes it on to the next generation and so on. Well, if you study the life of the Lord Jesus as he spent time with his disciples, I'm sure we'll see some principles that will help us to make disciples that duplicate, beginning from within our own homes and reaching beyond that. There has to be first and foremost a right focus in making disciples that duplicate. There needs to be a focus on Jesus Christ. A focus on Jesus Christ. He needs to be central. See, when the Lord Jesus said to these men, I want you to make disciples, teach all nations, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded unto you. There in John chapter 20, please, the Gospel of John chapter 20. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verse number 31. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verse number 31. John the Apostle gives us a summary for this book as to why he has been led by the Spirit of God to pen the words of the Gospel of John. Note there in John 20 verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. What a wonderful summary of the Gospel of John. John the Apostle writes, these things are written for the purpose that you and I might have life in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah, one with God the Father, the Son of God. And in believing in Him, we can have life eternal. Jesus Christ is our life. My friend, is Jesus Christ your life? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, said the great Apostle Paul. And if we're serious about making disciples that duplicate from within our own homes or beyond our homes through the ministry of the local church, there needs to be a right focus. Those disciplees need to be brought to a point of where they are caused to focus upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Beginning with salvation. Beginning by receiving the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. And beyond that point, yielding to His Lordship. Because to have Christ is to have all. To have Christ is to have life. Jesus said, I've come to give life and more abundantly. And as we seek to make disciples that will duplicate, that will multiply, our focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. That disciplee needs to be confronted by the claims of Christ. Our children need to see that our focus, parents, is upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ as Lord of all. King of kings. Lord of all. Self-centeredness has taken the stage of Christianity today. The big watch cry is, well, how can we meet the felt needs of people today? Listen, my friend, people do not need their so-called felt needs met. People need Jesus Christ. People need Jesus Christ as Savior. People need Jesus Christ as Lord. And parents, if we're serious about making disciples that duplicate, we need to instill into our children a correct focus. The focus is upon Jesus Christ, not upon on themselves. The world's focus is so selfish. Things like Faithless Book. It's all about you. How selfish. Selfishness prevails today. And all of this sort of junk. Yes, I call it junk. Social media is junk. All it's doing is feeding self. Listen, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That ought to be the watch cry of the child of God. Not about me, it's about Christ, is it not? So let me encourage you, shut that silly thing down and use that time to think about Jesus Christ. Oh, but Pastor, I want to post pictures of me. Tell people what I'm doing. Come on. Grow up, child of God. We need to get back to the Bible. The Bible talks about the crucified life. The Bible talks about dying to self. And if we're to make disciples that duplicate, the focus needs to be off you and I, and the focus needs to be on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is all in all, and we need to instill that in our disciples. We need to instill that in our children. A focus upon Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 12:32, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Jesus Christ intended for his disciples to produce his likeness in their disciples. The whole process of discipleship must revolve around the person of Jesus Christ. His way was his life. And so must it be, so must it be with his followers. A focus upon Jesus Christ. Parents, as you seek to disciple your children, make sure that you're focusing upon Jesus Christ. What would the Lord Jesus think? What would the Lord Jesus do? Jesus Christ. A focus upon Jesus Christ. And as you study the ministry of the Lord Jesus as he made disciples that duplicated, we also note that he not only led people back to himself as Savior and Lord, but we see within the ministry of the Lord Jesus that he was concerned first and foremost about people. He loved people. Look at Matthew chapter 9, for example. Matthew chapter 9. Are we still friends? Good. Okay. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Note verse 36, please. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Note the wording, compassion. As he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. My friend, this morning, if we are to make disciples that duplicate, there needs to be a focus upon Jesus Christ, not upon ourselves. But secondly, it's so critically important that we understand that we need to be mindful that we are working with people and see people as people. People that have an eternal soul. And the Lord Jesus, as he looked upon the multitude, he could see that they lacked direction. And he was compassionate. Our Lord had a love for people. His focus was not on productivity. Our Lord's focus was not upon methods or presentations or technology or machinery or programs. Look, we have so many programs and methods today within the church. And I'm afraid that we are losing sight of the trees through the forest. At the end of the day, it's all about people, is it not? "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" See, people are eternal. And this was the focus of the eternal Son of God. He was concerned about people. He wasn't so much concerned about meeting a deadline or a program or being with a who's who. No, he was compassionate about people. He loved people. And beloved, this morning, if we're to make disciples that duplicate, we need to understand there are only two things on this side of eternity that are eternal. Only two. Pastor Matthews used to drum this into us from knee high. The Word of God and people. The Word of God and people. And that's where we need to invest. It's
Spend time in the Word of God. Invest in people. Well, you might say, oh, Pastor, I don't like people. Well, you're one of them. Well, what are you? Oh, but Pastor, I'd rather be spending my time buried in my smartphone. Well, I feel sorry for you. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And if we're to make disciples to duplicate, we need to invest in people. And when you think about the life of the Lord Jesus, just think about the life of the Lord Jesus. He made time for what? People. Not programs, not machineries, not presentations. People, people, people. He loved people. When Mary and Martha grieved over the loss of their brother Lazarus, the Lord Jesus was there, and the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ wept. I believe they were tears of sincerity, tears of concern, because the Lord Jesus loved people. Parents, do you really love your children? Oh, Pastor, obviously I love my children. Well, invest in them. Invest in them spiritually. Implant within them the life of Jesus Christ. Do we really love people, Christians? Jesus said, if you are one of my disciples, it'll be evident by your love one for another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. One wonders whether we understand that. See, people are eternal. And when you think about the life of the Lord Jesus, did he ever say to people, leave me alone, I'm too busy? Oh no. Took every opportunity to minister to people because he loved people. And if we're to make disciples that duplicate, we need to have a sincere love for people. And this comes by living the Spirit-filled life. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's amazing when you are Spirit-filled. It's amazing who you can love. Because it's a supernatural love. And you need that supernatural love to make disciples that duplicate. I think about the life of the Lord Jesus and his method of how he made disciples that duplicated. I see that he led each of these disciples back to himself. And I see within the ministry of the Lord Jesus that he always made time for people. But thirdly, I see from the life of the Lord Jesus that he was prepared to work with the few. See, back in Matthew chapter 28, please, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. It tells us there that then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now we understand there were a lot more than 11 disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. There are others out there. But it was these men, this group, commit thou to faithful men. This is the faithful men. There were 12, but one bailed out. So we're down to 11. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And see, the point I want to make this morning, my friend, is this, that look, in this world, we've convinced ourselves that bigger is better.
But the Lord Jesus taught that if you're prepared to work with the fewer, you will go further. And there's a vast difference. Everything that is done with the few is for the salvation of the multitude. And the Lord Jesus poured his life into 11 men. Now this is the Son of God. This is the eternal Son of God. He was prepared to work with a group, initially of 12, now 11, the few. In the book of Zechariah, verse number 4, chapter 4, verse 10, it reads, "Despise not the day of small things." And parents, let me challenge you this morning. As it was well said by a gentleman by the name of W.R. Wallace, who wrote a poem titled, "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World." The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And W.R. Wallace wrote that poem in praise for motherhood. Motherhood as being, if motherhood is preeminent, the world will be changed. Susanna Wesley believed that. God blessed her mightily. And mothers, let me encourage you to believe that your greatest treasure is your children. And the opportunity to invest in your children is a privilege, it is an honor. And the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Those few children that God gives to you, or has given to you, treasure, value them, invest in them. Because it's with the few, the multitude will be changed for the better. By the power of God. But we need a generation of parents that believe that. Whether God gives you one child, or two children, or seven children, don't despise the day of small things. Invest in your children. Love your children. Teach Christ to your children. And believe that by faith, this child can be used of God to do something great. When I study the life of the Son of God, I see a Savior that, I mean, He was the eternal Son of God. And can you imagine, He probably had His critics. This guy thinks He is it. The Pharisees probably said to themselves, this person thinks He's it, but look at him. He's only got a basic following of 12 blokes. And He's 12 of them. And there are motley 12. Nothing real striking about the 12. 12 ordinary men of no great status in life, no great measure of intelligence. Just 12 ordinary men. And this person, Jesus Christ, claims is the Son of God. And all he's got is a committed group of 12. Oh, that didn't disturb the Son of God. That didn't bother the Son of God. Because He knew, by faith I'm going to pour my life into these men, and these men will be the means of turning the world upside down. The few. And beloved, this morning, if we're going to make disciples that duplicate, hey, don't despise the day of small things. Please. The world has been changed by individuals. Think about it. The world has been changed by individuals. And that one that you invest in could be the next one that will make a mark in this world and in the world to come. Think about Barnabas. He invested in one. Barnabas, one. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He invested in this one, poured his life into this one. That Saul of Tarsus became the great Apostle Paul. Now, do we read that Barnabas influenced any others on the same level? We don't. Now, we would assume he did. But this is the only one recorded in Scripture. And may God help us to value the opportunity to invest in the few. Parents, don't despise those small things. If God has blessed you with one child or two children or seven children, invest in them for the glory of God. It also takes time. If you want to make disciples that reproduce, you'll have to invest time. Jesus Christ invested much of his 3 years into 12 men. And may I submit to you this morning, he didn't spend time with his disciples, he invested time in his disciples. Oh, we want everything in the now, don't we? We are a fast food driven people. But my friend, it takes time to make disciples that reproduce. Even in our Lord's latter moments as he was pending arrest, he took that inner group of disciples and he took them up into the mount as he spends some moments in prayer with God the Father. The Lord Jesus invested time. And parents, listen to me, if you want to make disciples that duplicate, you'll have to give them time. How do you spell time? L-O-V-E. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. You know that? Yes. You're all well-educated people. You've worked that out. Time. Time is love. Jesus Christ gave time. And if you want to make a disciple that duplicates, you're going to have to give them time. But last but not least this morning, we've noted there was a focus upon the Lord Jesus. If we want to produce disciples that duplicate, we need to focus upon Christ. We need to focus upon people. Be prepared to focus on the few. We need to give time. But last but not least, I see within these 12 disciples, as our Lord taught them and trained them, we note a teachable spirit. They're in Luke chapter 11, quickly. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, it reads, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." These 12 men were not key men of great influence. They were not gifted with great intelligence. There's nothing extraordinary about any of them. Just ordinary men. But our Lord saw within these men something that was worthy and that qualified them to be disciples that duplicated. And that was a teachable spirit, a willingness to learn. See, the extent of our usefulness will be the extent of our willingness to be taught. And if we're serious about making disciples that duplicate, that multiply, that cannot be achieved unless there is a teachable spirit. These men at times were mistaken in their
judgment. Sometimes they didn't understand spiritual truth, and sometimes they had their obvious awkwardness and their shortcomings. But at the base of it all, these men had a teachable spirit, a teachable heart. And you can work with that. The Bible teaches us not many mighty, many noble are called. But God is able to work with a teachable spirit. And parents, we need to be praying that our children will continue to have a teachable spirit. And if you're serious about discipling others outside of the church here, you need to pray that there will be a teachable spirit. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My friend, this morning, if we're serious about returning to first century New Testament Christianity, which is spelled out in 2 Timothy 2:2, there needs to be a focus upon Jesus Christ. We need to focus upon people. Be prepared to help the few. Give them time. And pray they'll remain teachable. In the home, in the church, if we're prepared to duplicate ourselves, if we desire to duplicate ourselves, then we need to be mindful of how our Lord Jesus made disciples. He's prepared to give them time. He was prepared to work with a few. He treated them like people. He pointed them back to himself. And at times they were a bit slow off the mark. At times they said some silly things, did some silly things. He's arrested and they all flee. They fled. But Simon Peter followed afar off. They still fled. But yet God in His grace meets up with them in Matthew chapter 28 and said, I'm going to meet up with you fellas. Meet me at this point and I'm going to give you a mandate. This is the 12 that fled. Oh, the love of God. The grace of God. The belief in God, that God can use ordinary men for His glory. Oh, listen to me this morning. We are just clay. We are dust. God is everything. And may God grant us the grace and the faith to invest in others, beginning within our own, with those within our own home, and invest in others beyond, and make disciples that duplicate. Multiply. You want Christianity to perpetuate? Yes or no? Talk to me. Do you want Christianity to perpetuate? Do you want it to die within the next 100 years? What about the next 20 years? And what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Let me tell you, the average Christian is doing absolutely nothing. I challenge you, lovingly, make disciples that duplicate. Now we'll talk more about this, how you can do it, in the weeks to come. I picked up an old book that I had read a number of years ago, written by a man by the name of Dr. Paul Brand. He was a medical doctor. He actually was born in India in 1914 to missionary parents. Paul Brand was sent back to England to be trained and to be educated, and he also was trained as a medical doctor, specialized in hand surgery. And God did a work in his heart, and he also surrendered to the mission field, and he went back to India, I think it was 1946, and spent the next 19 years there in India working with people with leprosy. Wonderful man of God. And Dr. Paul Brand gives the example of this occasion that he was with a group of national medical students. And he was just supervising them as one of the students led in caring for this particular patient. And there was Mr. Brand just watching, observing, overseeing, and the other medical students were there watching, observing, as this one student was given the privilege of attending to the needs of this patient. And Dr. Brand writes in his book, he said that as I watch with intensity this intern medical student, you need to keep your eyes on them, he noticed the intern's facial expressions. And in his heart of hearts, he said to himself, boy, that reminds me of somebody. I've seen that before. And as he watched this medical student attend to the needs of this patient, he noticed how gently and tactfully this intern dealt with the patient, asking some very personal questions. And in his heart of hearts, he thought, boy, that voice sounds familiar. So Dr. Brand is transfixed with this medical student as this medical student cares for this patient, and he notices the facial expressions and the gentle handling of the patient and the calm and caring voice that was communicated with his patients, and the focus, the attention that this student gave to this patient. And the other interns just turned around, they could see that Dr. Brand was transfixed. And they asked him, what's the problem? And Dr. Brand said, this student here and the way he's dealing with his patient reminds me of Dr. Pilcher, who trained me years ago. And the student said, who? Who's that? There was a silence. One of the students piped up and said, Dr. Brand, we could see you in this student. You could see Dr. Pilcher. We've never met him. We don't know who he is. And may God help us to make disciples that duplicate, so people will not see us, but really they see Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's our charge from God. To make disciples that duplicate. And if that's to take place, people need to see beyond Paul Brand, so to speak. They need to see Dr. Pilcher, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.